The date is February 20th, 2004, and we're watching Eurotrip. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, a show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Cooper to my Scotty.
That's not where I left my car.
Yes!
My car.
you nailed it! First take, no rehearsals.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
Oh, good. I was hoping you would catch that lead. Well, and we also have a guest, a man who has been on this show many times before, a man who needs no introduction.
Hello. Hi. that's not where I parked my car.
I was going to see if you picked up on that cue. I was just having some fun today because this is Eurotrip. My God, did I love Eurotrip growing up. So this week we're looking back at February 2004, when the movies and theaters were Miracle, that hockey movie about USA hockey, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, Hilary Duff, Lion King 1.5, gotta be one of the best sequels to a movie so far, 50 First Dates, quality, and of course, our movie for today, Eurotrip, which earned $22.6 million on a $25 million budget. So close.
Almost.
And that is that $26 million has to be worldwide.
22.
Because I
22.6.
Yeah. I saw on Rotten Tomatoes that it was like 17 million.
Domestic. I always go international with my number. Peek behind the curtain for everybody. Yeah, I always go international because I want to give them the most credit. They made money overseas. It's still money.
I'm blown away that this movie made that little money because when I was in high school, it was huge.
This was it.
Everybody loved this movie.
Yeah. I wonder why a bunch of guys in high school really loved this movie. That's crazy.
No idea.
Yeah, I guess I have to look back and think like the 18... You know, 18 to probably 22-year-old demographic in 2004 didn't make up a lot of the movie going public. But anyways, this movie literally came out the year I graduated high school, so it's pretty old. There will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then go drink some absinthe, I guess, and you'll forget if you don't pause. and then go watch it and come back and hear what we have to say.
So I found only one tagline for the poster this week. No actual Europeans were harmed in the making of this film.
I feel like that's a better tagline for the last European vacation movie we watched, which was National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Yes. Yes, that's true. I am preparing for a trip to Europe, and so this is one of the movies to get me psyched for my trip to Europe. Yeah. You're right. That makes more sense for that one, I guess. But
I feel like the tagline is the reason it wasn't as successful domestically. People read the tagline, they went, "No Europeans harmed. I'm going to Miracle.
I want to see a Frenchman slapped. I want it to be a real Frenchman.
I need to know what's authentic."
Yeah, see you soon, Paris, by the way. Well, that may not be a very good description of this movie. So let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
I was half tempted to just find Scott's monologue from the end of the movie and just use that, but I wrote my own.
That would have been an interesting twist.
All right.
Never done that.
Scott. Yeah. Scotty didn't know that his girlfriend Fiona was cheating on him until she dumped him after his high school graduation and then went to a party where her new pop-punk boyfriend sang a song all about it. Scott gets wasted, and then to make matters worse, he comes home to find an email from his
German pen pal Mike that makes it seem like he's coming on to him.
Scott writes Mike back and tells him to stay away, but when he wakes up the next morning, Scott's brother helps him realize that Mike is not a creamy German, creepy German guy.
Schadenfreude.
But
that's
is in
not
fact,
getting cut out.
But is in fact a hot German girl named Mika. A hot German girl who now wants nothing to do with Scott and has blocked his email. Now Scott, his best friend Cooper, and the twins Jenny and Jamie travel to Europe, where Scott plans to find Mika and profess his love. In the process, they run into soccer hooligans, battle street performers, and navigate various language barriers while experiencing all Europe has to offer in the form of nude beaches, pop brownies, German sex dens, and absinthe. There you go.
Nice. Yeah, this was one that, I mean, as we know when we did the Euro trip or the road trip episode, I love the trip movies. I mean, this movie was originally titled Ugly Americans, but the Monticello Film Company, who produced this movie, changed it to get some of that, you know, road trip traffic, some of those fans over there. Apparently it didn't work by the looks of the box office returns, but I was a road trip fan. I saw Euro Trip and I'm like, hey, it's its own thing and I love it just as much. It is stupid and funny. And
yeah, I always thought it was weird that people refer to this movie as a sequel to Road Trip.
Yeah, no. It's not. It was just rebranded to try to, you know, it doesn't even go as far as the American Pie Presents franchise that there is, or a National Lampoon's franchise. But I bet if this had been more successful, we might have seen more trips.
Yeah, I think there is a missed opportunity to have, like, you know, either they run into, like, one of the road trip guys in Europe, or have, like, Barry be the RA at Scott's dorm or something
oh, there
like
we
that.
Go. Yeah. Yeah, just some cameo. Yeah. So I know I watched this DVD not nearly as much as my road trip DVD, as was documented in our road trip episode, but I this got a fair amount of viewings. Yeah. Joel, we brought you in on Euro Trip. We said, hey, want to hop in on this one? I didn't even ask whether you even care about this movie, but you're just always game. So, Euro Trip.
I'm a yes man.
Yeah.
I am a yes man through and through. I had never seen this movie before.
Nice.
So, it was a first for me.
Okay.
But I recognized the Scotty doesn't know clip from the
party,
because I'd seen that before in like a craziest cameos thing.
YouTube, hey, smash the like button. Yeah,
that's the Martian right there. I know that guy. That's Goodwill Hunting.
It's Jason Bourne, man.
Yeah, that's the guy.
He was in Germany filming the Bourne Supremacy at the same time when they were filming the Mike scene.
They could have crossed over. They could have done something.
Oh yeah.
Check the Bourne tapes. There's gonna be something in there.
Yeah, he was busy some horny interrogating Julius Stiles or something.
I mean, how hilarious would that? That would have been. Well, we'll talk about it at the end.
I had not seen this movie.
Had you heard of it?
I was pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it a lot. I think there's something so iconic about like an early 2000s sex comedy. Yeah. They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah,
kind of for good reason, but there's something really charming about this specific era of filmmaking.
Yeah. Did you at least know this movie existed?
I did. I knew the movie existed.
Okay.
Yeah, like that genre is gone.
It's
like there's no
away.
Like there's no American Pies, there's nothing like that anymore.
Well, see, now it's like the older crowd. Now we're doing like office Christmas party. So they're trying to be young and hip, or bad moms, you know, trying to be young and hip, but like it's appealing more to a mid-40s or 50s crowd, you know?
Yeah, they just can't sell Funko Pops off of sex comedies anymore. So they gotta...
Yeah, the sex comedies have grown up.
Joel, had you seen Road Trip?
I have not. Okay. So I was sitting there as you guys were talking about Road Trip. I was like, uh-huh. Yeah, Barry, get him in there. Get that cameo going.
Hey, you admitted to being a yes man through and through already. So
of course.
Yeah, so yeah. You're just like, yeah, Road Trip. Gotcha. Of course. Baby, yeah.
I've been on a road trip before.
Yeah, this will be like watching the Star Wars prequels before watching the original trilogy, almost.
Yeah, but other than name, they're not connected. Okay, well, Colin, tell us your history with Euro Trip, because we have talked about this plenty on the show. It's well documented. Well documented.
Yeah, like I am from the era of teen sex comedies.
Yep.
Like American 2001 Pie. To 2004 is my high school, like end of junior high school years. So like, well, and even like the 1999, I guess I'd have been junior high. But like, yeah, American Pie, Road Trip, Euro Trip.
What about some of the more obscure ones like Tomcats with Jerry O'Connell? No, okay.
No, I remember that one coming up.
Or
but
Joe's Apartment.
No, I was okay. More in. I think those guys were like too adult.
Okay,
like
okay.
They were adult centric. Yeah. Like it was like these teen,
high
like,
school, college.
I could have been like I remember thinking this movie came out when I graduated. Like I could have been Scott. You know.
Yeah,
like...
yeah. Oh, that would have sucked. Well, see, I was gonna say that would have sucked, but I mean, that would have been good too at the end.
Yeah,
I mean,
it all works out.
Yeah,
but. I remember watching this movie a lot and just loving it. I actually didn't even know until I was researching today that Lustra is not a real band.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that also back in the early 2000s when CD burners were at the height and everybody would have like one friend who had one. And so you would like pay them $2 to go download some songs off Napster, Kazaa, or like LimeWire, or whatever it was at that time, and burn you
a CD.
And I vividly remember being like, "I want Scotty Doesn't Know on my CD."
God, yes.
Like, can you find me a cut of Scotty Doesn't Know that's the actual like natural version and not just one that was ripped from the movie?
Yeah. It slaps, man. Like when that one hits in my shuffle, oh my god, I love me some Scotty Doesn't Know. Yeah, I was jamming out to it before you guys hopped on here, you know. Yeah, that and My Baby
takes the morning train.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Sheena Easton. I never knew until I wanted to find it to listen to it to get ready for the show. So, well, let's jump into Euro Trip. We're already here. Directed by, it's a three director list. We've got Jeff Schaefer, Alec Borg, and David Mandel. The last two there get co-director credits, but now it is produced by, we've got three men here. Jeff Schaefer, Alec Berg, and David Mandel, plus David Goldberg, and a shout out to Ivan Reitman, who was executive producer. And it's written by, I'll give you a nice shiny nickel if you can guess who wrote this movie. It's a three-man team, I'll give you a hint.
Well, I've been taking my omega-3s for this very reason.
I will send you a nickel here, Joel, if you can say... Jeff Schaefer, Alec Berg, and David Mandel. Yes, that...
I'm going to say David Reitman. Damn it!
Oh, David Reitman. Who's
got
David
the wires
Reitman?
Crossed.
That's, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, these three men are, like, responsible for this entire thing, basically. I want to say, I love these three guys, though, because I love a good trolling. They purchased a bootleg DVD less than a month after the movie was released, And like it included and included some of the footage from this bootleg DVD on the actual DVD with the message of fuck you pirates.
Nice.
I think that's a fun trolling story.
That's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, we open with the talking about my generation in French. And the animated credits that look like the airplane stuff, and like right there in the opening, like animated nipples, people throwing up, you know what you're in for, you know?
Oh, yeah. For me, yeah, it was kind of a fun experience watching these opening credits because I love the animation, but I was also, in homage to your LimeWire days, may or may not have been watching this movie through less than legal premises.
Oh, yes.
And so when the French song started playing, I was like, it's just going to be like one of those downloads where it's in the wrong language. So I was like, I'll stick through until the credits end and then we'll see. And it all worked out.
Yeah. It still says produced by in English. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been hilarious if you like
fast forwarded to the exact scene of Fred Armisen in the train where he's just like speaking like scusi, and you're like, ah, fuck.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, so it's graduation day, class of 2004, and we got Scott and Fiona. Oh boy, like I mean Kristen Kreuk at her peak, and this is when, you know, I was watching Smallville at the time and Lana Lang, and it's like, you know, I liked bad girl Lana Lang in this movie, but she's not a very good actress.
Yeah, Kristen Kreuk at her peak star power, but her performance seems like she was just walking down the road and they were like, oh shit, the hot girl that we wanted to play the girlfriend didn't show up. Like, who can we get? And they're like, oh, that girl looks like she, we just need somebody. So they went and got her and like threw the script in her face and they're like, okay, can you just say these lines for us? Cause man, it was so bad. So wooden.
Yeah. Scott, and we need to talk. It's about me breaking up with you. Fucking this, like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying that she's, I had a crush on her. She's hot in this movie is all I'm saying, but yeah, no.
It's definitely,
definitely a departure from the sad sack in Smallville.
Yes, yes. So I appreciate that part of it, but you're right. It's definitely, you know, it makes Star Wars Episode II look like, you know, the Oscar.
I was just saying that I bet you in her 2005 Kristen Kreuk demo reel, those scenes weren't included.
Probably not. No. Maybe her dancing on stage and making out with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because that at least, you know, it's kind of like name dropping. It's like, yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, I made out with Matt Damon once. So. Yeah.
That would be straight in my CV if I'd done it. Right at the bottom and like special skills and talents.
Made out with Matt Damon. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great kisser, Matt Damon reference.
You need me to make out with a hot guy? I'm here.
Oh, captain, my captain.
I've always wondered, I mean, you say Lustre is not a real band. Is Matt Damon the front man? Is that actually him singing?
No, it's not him singing.
Okay.
No. Yeah, they got like, it's just like a fake studio band, and then he's just lip syncing over it.
Okay, well, yeah. I was always pretty sure that was the case. It's just they got someone that it's like, I can believe that's what Matt Damon sounds like.
Nah, it would have been a little more like, Scotty doesn't know. Huh? Scotty doesn't know.
How do you like them apples?
How do you like that, huh? I went from Boston and went straight to bad New York. I really...
Yeah.
No, I'm wrong. Lustre is a real band.
Oh.
Apparently, their years active are 1996 to the present.
Oh, wow.
But that's not the band that's performing there.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? I don't understand my notes.
I love Scott's little brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fiona! Fucking loser.
You can see the exact moment. I was trying to understand my notes here, and yeah, and it was the male motherfucker.
The email thing.
The email, but it was like male, male, and then I had M, and then it was all starred out, and I'm like, what the fuck is that voice to text? I hate voice to text. Is there a way to turn off the censorship on my voice to text? Fuck. But anyway, the male motherfucker, I used that as my text message ringtone for a long time on my own phone.
Nice.
Did you have to pay $1 to download that, or was it?
No, maybe it was 99 cents.
Yeah.
Was it back in the day when you had like the T9 phone and you had the really rudimentary store? When you would buy a song, but it was still just like digitones.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Those were the days. Yeah, and so we get brought in on brought up to speed on the story pretty quick about how he's got a pen pal and he's been dumped and he's going to this party, and so we're at the party and. Finally, geez, it's been like 10 minutes. Finally, we get boobs. God, I was wondering when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's about time! Come on!
Not animated. I mean, you know.
The one thing that I always found with these teen sex comedy movies is like I went to a few parties in high school, and I'll never remember that kind of thing happening.
No, never seen a live band at a party.
No. Which is weird. Like, you feel like people have, like, weird garage bands and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, the kegs actually had beer in them. So some of the extras were getting drunk, and one of the scenes, Cooper is really drunk. The moment when where he's been tossed out of the tub and he like has to do the pratfall and get up. Apparently he's pretty drunk in that scene.
He's method.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking, why does he get into the hot tub fully clothed?
Oh yeah.
It seems like a bad, I don't know. It's just you're just gonna be wet all day now.
Yeah. For the rest of the party.
The same thing. And you know what? I'm not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I went, oh, that's going to be a problem. You're going to smell like chlorine. You're going to be itchy.
Yeah,
you're wearing jeans.
Itchy. Yes. Like, have you ever gotten your feet absolutely soaked, but you can't change out of them right away?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. And like that itch that just comes over you at night. Oh, oh boy. That like, end couldn't of the day just, itch, it's the
couldn't
worst.
He have just accomplished the same task by sitting on the edge? I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
I agree, Joel. Maybe I'm just,
I'm just old
I think
now.
We're just crotchety.
Oh, God. And, yeah,
I went to a Disturbed concert last week, and I felt the same thing. I was just like, oh, why did I get general admission? Like, who wants to stand for 2 hours? This is brutal.
Can they turn it down a little bit?
Seriously, I brought earplugs. I was like, what's happened to me? Brought earplugs to a heavy metal concert. Like,
what did I expect?
You got like the little earplugs with the muffs over top to like double protect.
Just being responsible, guys.
Guys, your hearing doesn't last forever.
Tisk tisk.
Can you turn it down? just a bit.
Yeah.
But back to the heavy metal, because we've got Matt Damon. His description of Fiona is still one of my all-time favorites because she's the nastiest, freakiest little sex puppet that he knows.
Oh, that killed me. The idea of being able to look a woman in the eye and going, "You're a sex puppet." I'm like, "You're God damn it, puppet. That's why he's Jason Bourne. He's got that confidence in him. That's why he's America's number one operative."
I mean, even the song, as catchy as that song is, it's pretty, graphic. I don't know, just kind of graphic. I hope it worked out with them. Hope they had a long, long, happy life together.
They had a good thing going on.
Yeah, they're obviously adventurous because, I mean, she wakes up in the morning with him and someone else from the band.
Good for them. Maybe they're going backpacking or something. They're going, you know, backcountry in a 3-person tent.
Yeah.
That's adventurous. That's all I thought about that. You know?
Yeah. He seems like he fishes. he's rugged. He's an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where he goes to unwind. I guess the hot tub scene was conceived during the movie Out Cold. The guys that worked on this movie, they worked on Out Cold as well, and it was during rewrites that they came up with the idea of the girl in the hot tub with the sap on her boob. And they decided, you know what? We're going to save that for our own shit. They can't have that.
That's gold.
Yeah. But I've brought up Out Cold on this movie on this podcast before because it has one of the funniest moments that I've ever seen on film. Yeah. So I just, you know, I like when I can bring something full circle to another episode so people have to go seek out that episode.
I was about to say, I haven't heard of the movie Out Cold before. Where could I find some people talking about that one?
No, we've never done the movie. I've just mentioned it before.
You can cut that voice clip and include it in a later episode. When you okay. Yeah, I can do another couple takes if you want.
Yeah, okay.
I was also remembering as I watched this movie that back in the day when it first came out, one of the main drivers for me to go see it was that I was desperately in love with Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. Yeah, see, yeah, I was a little age inappropriate for her, I think. But yes, I, you know, I did like her. In this movie, right? Like,
respectfully,
like the growing up with her thing. Yeah, I can't Harriet the Spy Michelle Trachtenberg. I haven't crushed on her since then because I was already, you know, an adult by the when she was. But for this, you know, it's like I can look at Emma Watson now and go, damn. But you know, like I watched her grow up.
Yeah, yeah, it's different.
Yeah,
I get it.
She blossomed. She didn't get all like weird looking. She didn't start looking like a corpse bride figure like the Olsen twins do.
Hey, how dare you?
Settle down. What did the Olsen twins do to you? Okay.
Yeah, Michelle. I think she's the same age as me.
Yeah.
So she was like, "What?" But it is weird. Like the Olsen twins are the same way. Where it was like I grew up with them and I had a crush on them the entire way, the entire way through.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, it's only until like much later when you're like, oh, yeah, you're still hot now, but like I can't think of your young, like you can only be hot now, 18 and over. Like it's
yeah, not... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Chamber of Secrets Hermione is not hot. No.
Is Goblet of Fire? I feel like Goblet of Fire is still pretty
good. Well, I mean, listen, yeah.
When I was a young guy watching that movie for the first time, when she turned into a cat, changes a guy. You know what I'm saying? Changes a guy. That pollen juice potion? Come on now.
Yeah. Joel really liked that pussy.
Yeah.
Colin.
Yes. Oh. Bravo, sir. Well played.
I'm
Oh.
so I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to Emma Watson.
Did she ever? I
Yeah. Yeah.
don't know if she's a big fan of
Yeah, when she listens to this.
the pod, Yeah, big fan. Big fan of the pod. Yeah. You know, I know watching this movie, the character of Cooper was always one of the big draws for me in this movie, just because he had all the one-liners. You know, hey, this isn't where I parked my car. There's your R rating right there. You know, or like his monologue, the whole monologue he goes on about his quest for sexual exploration to push the boundaries and whatever his speech is there. I mean, yeah, Cooper is definitely a draw for me. He's a great character.
When I started watching this movie, this is one of those movies that I think you watch and you're like, which character do I like see myself as? You know, you're like, which one am I? And I was
Okay.
watching the movie started and I was like, ah, he's the smug guy who's weird and girls don't like him all that much. I'm Cooper. And then they got to Europe and the twin brother pulled out his camera and I paused it and I was like, that's a Leica. What kind of Leica is that? Is it what 2004? So it's probably M6, M7 range. And then they cut to him and he went, this is a Leica M7 camera. And I went, no! I'm the lame brother! No!
That makes out with his twin sister.
Why?
You know, but Joel, thank you. Because it's time for Sponsorship Corner. Hey, when I can get an in, I take it.
You
So,
take that
absolutely. Always on the lookout for. Well, yeah, I just ride it around the mall like Paul Blart. Always on the lookout. See, that's a segue. See? Yeah. No, okay.
I got you, buddy. I
Yeah.
got you. I didn't laugh, but I got you.
Yeah, well, you muted yourself too. I mean, anyway, yeah, drink your beer. Always on the lookout for product placements in movies, Eurotrip is brought to you by Sony Electronics, Marshall Amplifiers, AOL, Kodak, and Leica M7 cameras, Coca-Cola, the Cleveland Indians, or am I supposed to say like the Cleveland baseball team? Did they get a new name?
They
The
did. I think it's like
Indians.
the Generals or something now.
Oh, okay.
We're
Whatever.
Canadian. We claim ignorance. We're Canadian.
In 2004, it was the Cleveland Indians. HarperCollins Dictionaries and Frommer's Europe Guide 2004 and Absinthe, plus the most likely fictional restaurant Jean-Luc, Groovy Cakes, EBC, Happy Juice, and of course, Club Vander Sex. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
Incredible.
Right
I
on.
have I've never felt more personally called out by a movie than them being like, this camera guy is a fucking loser.
And when
You know,
you
I saw him with like
travel,
the weird like hidden holster for his wallet and I was like,
yeah.
oh, that kind of I kind of get the appeal there. That
That
kind of
makes
makes
sense. Yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when they go to the nude beach and he has like his it's full like this full on utility safety belt strap thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah,
Gotta be ready for any situation, all right?
I didn't get myself one of those for Europe. And I'm wondering whether I should because of Jamie. I mean, Jamie tells me that maybe I should. Or Fromer tells me maybe I should.
Gotta be a yes man.
There was something I read in a review that kind of blew my mind about Jamie's passport carrier thing,
Yeah.
is that it's weird. Like he loses all the passports when he's getting his blowjob,
Yeah.
but they continue to travel throughout Europe sans passport.
On a plane, even.
Yeah, like it's so weird that should have been like the biggest obstacle that they face.
Yeah.
In this entire movie, and it's a complete non-factor.
It wasn't even brought up again.
Nope.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like a deleted scene or something like that, that, or like maybe there was a whole side plot or story.
Going to the embassy at least. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One extra scene. I don't know. Yeah.
Fellas, nope. Yeah. Non-factor. No. Fellas, you ever gotten some head so good that you burned your IDs and lived off the grid? You know? We've all been there.
At least once every decade.
You gotta, yeah.
Yeah, just gotta uproot. Move on to the next better head. God. Is the job of being a courier to get cheap Europe flights actually a thing?
I can't say I've ever looked into it, but yeah. I heard that, and the part of me that's the lame curmudgeon now heard, yeah, that's a fun way to get human trafficked. that sounds cool.
Couriers are like the guys who like ride around on bikes and deliver.
Well, yeah, or cars. I mean, like a FedEx guy is a courier.
I guess.
Yeah, so
I just don't understand what it has to do with the air travel. I guess
they just need someone to accompany the package.
Right.
I guess is what it is. Yeah. So and they have to deliver it when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're getting a discount for the airfare. I don't know. I wonder whether that's like passports getting stolen. Is that another one of those details that it's like, whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Sure. Why not?
Missed that. But that's how they get the. That's how they end up going on the trip.
Yeah, that's how they totally get the plane ticket for that. Free. Yeah, because
they ever deliver anything?
I
don't remember them like stopping to like deliver a package.
I don't think so. No. Because that would have been an interesting side plot too. Like,
yeah.
They have to deliver the package to the creepy Italian guy that they end up back with on the plane or on the train later on. I don't know. Yeah. So basically we learn with this movie, I mean, Scotty comes home drunk, he pees on his brother's robe, but then remembers to go back and flush the toilet. That's a detail that I've always loved. But yeah, we find out that the moral of the story is homophobia is bad, kids. Because that's all it comes down to, is he freaks out, and he has a, whoa, I can't have a boy near my dick. I gotta freak out in the worst possible way. I mean, that's all it comes down to. If he had just been a little bit more accepting, he would have been like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
sure, we could meet up for coffee, but I don't want you that way. But you're cool,
dude. I mean, the root problem, I think, is still like, you know, be a person of the world. Like, because he's such an idiot that can't understand that the difference between Jan and Jan and Mike and Mika.
Mika, yeah. Yeah, because Mika is M-I-E-K-E. There's obviously a separate pronunciation for that.
I think the bigger picture of the big picture here is that the moral message of this film is that the American public education system is failing the youth.
Yes.
True.
There we go.
I think that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah.
These bitches ignorant.
Yeah, they're so America-centric, like, gosh, what's wrong with you?
How dare you?
That's why they'll never breed internationally.
Yeah.
Damn!
I mean, I guess maybe by the end of the movie, the same ignorance comes back to benefit, so...
You think so?
Because they end up living together in the dorm room.
Yeah. So. I guess, well, that's true, yeah. So ultimately, America is ignorant, is what they're saying.
Whenever ignorance gets you in trouble, just hit it with more ignorance, and eventually it'll just all work out.
Yeah.
America.
That's right, kids. One day you too can be president of the United States.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. Well, see, and I mean, early 2004, we also get a few jokes that also dance around homophobia. I don't know. Is the Cooper being like, I get it. You're a girl. He's a girl. Whatever. You know, sometimes you're both the girl.
Mm-hmm. I think also them fully fleeing from someone with at the mere thought that they might be a little fruity on the train with the Fred Armisen character. The whole joke is kiss boys. That's whoa. No.
Well,
not okay.
No, I don't think it's completely like the
also
no
being
kissing.
Kind of gross. Whoa.
Yeah. Let's keep your hands to yourself. Yeah. Stay in your bubble.
I was gonna say
why
like
can't they just be a little more open minded.
the like three dildo pronged. Machine that the Vandersex comes after Cooper with, despite being a fairly intimidating machine, I also think speaks to some like homophobia in this movie.
Oh God, for a second there, yeah, I thought you were gonna be like I wouldn't have been afraid of it.
I would be deathly afraid of it.
Maybe one of the three would have worked for me, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, with her sidekicks Hans and Gruber.
I mean, for all the homophobia in this movie, I do think I don't think I'd ever seen more penises in a movie until I watched this.
Well, that's true. I mean, it must set some sort of record.
IMDb.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should submit that and see if it sticks on IMDb. Yeah, they
count one by one.
Apparently, they wanted to originally like give it the Austin Powers treatment, and have them all like holding surfboards and beach balls and shit like that. Really? And then they're like, you know what? Fuck it. It's funnier if it's just a line of dicks. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Because like every sex comedy is like boobs.
Yeah.
So I think it's equally funny, if not funnier, to be like old man dick.
Yeah. Lots of old man dick.
My mistake.
Yeah. No, a lot of reference to genitals, you know?
I think it's the twins were on their own thing, right?
Yes.
Like they were going to Europe anyways. It's strange that they, or maybe that's how, like, I feel like they must have had a plan before their vacation just got waylaid by Scott's mission.
Hijacked? Yeah. Yeah, they were on their own thing, yes. And so, yeah, whatever. No, we're just along for this ride now. Like, you'd think that meeting up with them in one place is one thing, but yeah. Traveling around, no, not so much.
You hear that, guys? Just a little disclaimer for everybody listening. Never be a yes guy on your vacations, or you too will have a weird twincest scene in the middle of the movie.
Twincest.
Happens to the best of us.
And the worst of us.
The camera guy was cool, okay?
The camera guy was cool.
I like Jamie. Yeah. I thought this movie could have easily been a Jamie centered movie. Like I think he has the most change from day one to the end. Yeah. Like, you know, he starts off as like a nerd. His nerd powers end up like kind of saving the day. He still like gets to come out of his shell, and then the end he ends up with a sweet job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he definitely does. Like, his dream job. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he definitely knows where to go to get some head. So. Like that's where his confidence comes from, you know? It's like, that's where his swagger comes in.
I was very disappointed that wasn't actually Arthur Frommer, though, at the end.
No.
What a waste.
for my own sake here, I'm doing the research. I'm trying to find out the original retail price of a Leica M7. We're looking at probably a original retail about $7,000 camera.
What?
So whoever he was tutoring for lacrosse.
Wow. Know,
yeah, good for them.
Yeah, that answers one of the questions I had later on, is how they managed to get like four plane tickets to Rome. Like, I understand that it's somewhat cheap, but yeah. Okay. If it's $7,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he sold his Leica, I feel like they had
leftover.
They had cash to spare, because like, I went to Europe in 2009, and you could fly from Berlin to Rome for like $30. That's like taking a bus.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I say about $5,000 is what I'm kind of finding here. It's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
But still, because I remember seeing that stack of cash that he put in old Scotty Boy's hand at the end of the movie. And
yeah.
I went, you got fucking ripped off, dude. There's no way.
I think that another, like, watching this movie now, with all the, like, who's the guy? Fred Armisen. Like, I had no idea. I had no idea who that guy was when this movie first came out. Now he's such, like, a huge, huge thing. Like, I didn't even know he was in this movie until I
watched it this go around.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it
I
was
mean,
also kind of fun for me, I was going to say, as somebody who hadn't seen the movie before, Scusi was like a joke. Like, people would be like, oh, Scusi, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And kind of being able to go, oh, that's where that comes from. It was like a fun little moment.
Scusi.
Yeah.
The robot. I had completely blanked on the robot fight. That, when I was in high school, was like the funniest shit.
Yeah.
And even just how it's like it's like aping the Matrix so much. I wasn't sure if it was like if they were just doing a slow motion version of the final fight from the Matrix, but it definitely stole a lot from that.
Yeah. I mean, they've got various influences going on for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something that is clearly like just straight up like Bruce Lee kung fu but robot style.
Yeah. My favorite is just the
error, error. So
good.
You'll be amazed to know they weren't actually in front of the Louvre when they filmed that. apparently, apparently, like 95% of this movie was actually filmed in like somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Oh wow!
Like Prague or something like that. Yeah, and so like even London, that's somewhere in Prague with a green screen to put Big Ben and Parliament in there.
I love to imagine that everything was filmed in Eastern Europe except for the scenes in Eastern Europe. Those ones are like, no, we were in Rome. We were in Rome.
That's right. Yeah. I need to travel to Eastern Europe because apparently like a nickel I could retire on.
That was funny. Bratislava.
Yeah, I also like the German guy on the in the truck, who's been doing like all the all the drugs or whatever and drinking, and nowhere near Berlin. I will never set foot in Berlin. But yeah, with how Scotty does the German, where he's like, my German is, oh, I forget how it's translated, but it's like it's translated poorly, right? And like my German is broken or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
that's how I'm going to be when I'm in Paris, because they're going to cringe with my French, but at least I will try.
You know, un baguette, por favor. No, wait, hold on.
That's the problem.
Sean.
I've done so many more like Mexico trips in the last few years that I probably will slip into Spanish a couple of times just because it's like I'm not speaking English. I must be speaking Spanish because that's what the default has become.
I would love to see you walk into a small Parisian patisserie and go, dos cerveza, por favor.
Yeah. Well, hopefully all my elementary school French from Mademoiselle Kawahara, that's a good French name, it will come back to me because she was the best French teacher I ever had, and I had her for grade 4, 5, 6.
I can remember from my junior high elementary school French experience, est-ce que je parle aux toilettes, s'il vous plaît? Which is, may I please go to the bathroom? Because I did not want to be in French class. So I commend you for actually committing to it.
I didn't commit to it. So anyway, Eurotrip. They're on their way to Germany and they stop at the nude beach. I do like the question, what is the etiquette with boners? Do you just dig a hole? That's a good question.
What would your ideal be if you're at the nude beach? Like, what would you want it to be?
What, like everyone with boners or everyone without? Or
no, I mean like if you pop one, what would you hope? Would you just be like, hopefully nobody looks, nobody says anything?
Yeah.
Or would you be like, what, I gotta go grab a towel?
Would you be worried cold? About? Would you be worried about judgment?
Yeah. You just.
Like this horny bastard.
This guy said he was a grower, not a shower. That doesn't look like a grower. I don't know. The ocean's cold. Just go freeze it off.
I think I would just head for water, like the pool tactic.
Good time for a swim.
I will say. The nude scene also had one of my favorite lines in the whole movie, which was all of like what the youngest, the young nubile nudists all go over to this other place right nearby, and it comes to with all of the women, and it's just wow, this statue is so moving. Let us make out.
Let us make out. Yes,
cracked me up.
Absolutely, early 2000s. You need to have some attention, lesbians. That's what it was all about in the early 2000s. How do you feel about David Hasselhoff showing up to do some singing, Joel?
Honestly, it completely it gave me like a That's So Raven like whoa moment when I saw the Hoff himself on the side of the screen, because sometimes I forget that he was a big deal in European music.
In German music, especially. Germans love David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It cracked me up. Uh-huh. Just the, oh, good for you, David.
An appearance. Everybody
needs to find their niche somewhere.
Yeah. It's like when Keanu Reeves showed up in SpongeBob as the Burning
Man. Or when David Hasselhoff showed up in SpongeBob.
In SpongeBob as well. Yeah, I mean, he's...
a man of many talents.
I was deeply... I was thinking back again this movie... I have never had absinthe, and I actually attribute it to this movie because for the longest time, whenever somebody ever mentioned it, I thought of this movie and I was like, oh, like, that's too crazy for me. Like, I didn't do drugs or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then I learned much later that, like, I think absinthe seems to be more like a brand than it is like an actual type of drink. Here anyway, maybe there's like a European version that is what they're talking about, but...
Well, the movie Moulin Rouge, which also came out in the early 2000s, absinthe was a big deal and at the time it was only a European thing. And it's something like, it's supposed to be like 160 proof or something like that. Like, it's ridiculously... I don't know. It makes you like hallucinate. You know how tequila drunk is a little bit different than any other kind of drunk?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Absinthe is, you know, like the tequila drunk on crack, you know?
I always once thought that it was kind of like the same idea of like when you look at original recipe Coca-Cola when it had like opium and cocaine in it.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
I always thought it was maybe like a similar thing where they're like absinthe original recipe had some, you know, just had PCP in there.
That's right. And a dash of cinnamon.
You can't go without it.
I don't know why you would, though. I mean, it's not like I like a fireball or anything, so not exactly.
Yeah, but fireball doesn't have PCP in it, buddy.
Oh, well, that's why. God. Yeah. They really are the worst twins ever. Oh, the club scene is funny, like the, but you know, like this is one of those moments where Colin, boy, I'm behind you so much with Michelle Trachtenberg. I mean, whew. She looks dynamite in this one. And of course, she's the only one that we never actually get, you know, that never actually gets naked in this movie. I mean,
why?
Yeah, what a waste.
What a waste. Unfortunately.
Missed opportunities.
Yes, unfortunately, we have to look at the hot girl in the hot tub and Mika, and yeah.
Although, I mean, that probably spared her from going down like a Lindsay Lohan-like trajectory.
True. Quite possible.
Although, I mean, I don't know that she's doing much. I don't know that she's doing much with her career these days anyways, but.
Yeah. So, apparently, this is something I love. The Club Vandersekt scene was actually like a replacement scene that they put into this movie because the original script had a scene that they thought went a bit too far. The studio was like, no, we can't do that one. And it's the Anne Frank sex scene. And so,
oh no.
So apparently what was going to happen is Cooper was going to go find like some mysterious sex lair or whatever in wherever the Anne Frank house is. And he gets the address wrong, but like confirms with someone, you know, who doesn't speak very good English that, you know, is this the house where with the secrets or whatever, you know, like there's some weird code that he's got. So anyway, the line outside the Anne Frank home is too long. So he goes through one of the windows, gets into the bed, strips down, and then a tour group comes in. And one of the people in the tour group is is the last living relative of Anne Frank. And so in order to cover his shame, he grabs a nearby mannequin, which is, of course, you may have already beat me to the punchline, is a mannequin of Anne Frank that he covers his privates with. And they're like, yeah, that's one step too far. We can't do that one. So they're like, okay, Club Vandersekt it is. Dildos on a weird machine. That's what we're going to do.
I'm surprised that they took that out, but left the Hitler child in.
And in
you gotta get the Nazis in somewhere.
It's at the end where they're teaching him how to actually like tile and goose step, and oh yeah.
Because that scene was just kind of like, it was a shot. Like I don't know. It served no purpose other than to be like, oh, Hitler. I'm like, wouldn't a child Hitler be funny?
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Oh, child Hitler is always funny, Colin. Don't you know?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's one man that it ruined an entire mustache for everyone. Thank goodness it wasn't a very good mustache to begin with. But like, you know, Charlie Chaplin had it, and then Hitler's like, hey, I like that. I'm going to use that. And then now no one can have that mustache except Michael Jordan in the old Hanes commercials. He rocked a Hitler mustache for a while, man.
Did he actually rock the
Hitler He mustache actually rules? Rocked a Hitler mustache in a Hanes commercial.
MJ, no.
Yeah.
That's really why he left the NBA. It wasn't because of the gambling. It wasn't for baseball. It's because they were like, what the fuck is up with that mustache, dude?
Oh. So, yeah, they sell the camera for a ton of money. Apparently, it's several thousand dollars. And they managed to sneak into the ruse that that Cooper is mentally retarded and that Jamie is the tour guide. So maybe that one doesn't fly as well in 2023. But, you know, you got to admit, though, you know, maybe if they had just replaced it with his special needs, it might have been better. You know, I think the joke wasn't that terrible. I mean, he had brain freeze at the time, right?
There was worse bits in the movie.
Yeah. You
know, perhaps an Anne Frank sex house could have been a little bit more a little bit more off color.
Risque, yeah. A little bit more. Yeah.
Like,
see,
to be
I told
honest,
you. Yeah, you did, you didn't believe me. Hitler mustache.
Come on, Michael.
Like, what would you say if I showed up tomorrow with a Hitler mustache and knocked on your door? You'd be like, dude.
First of all, I'd say, Sean, how did he get my address?
Mr. Spot.
Yeah, how did I? Even, like, I don't think people care now, but I was kind of thinking America is known for being a pretty, like, religious place, and all this stuff at the end, the fact that the, like, the final big scene of this movie takes place at the Vatican, you're burning the Pope's hat, dressing up as the Pope, like,
yeah,
have this misrepresented papal death and new Pope service and all this stuff, maybe that's why this movie only made $17 million domestically. People like,
I mean, yes, I mean, so something like, you know, Dogma, it receives so much hate and pickets and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Something like this, I mean, you say that the States is religious, but I mean, yeah, but it's not Catholic. Right, you've got Catholic in like the Boston area and stuff like that, but I
wherever the Irish are.
Yeah, but down south where you've got, like, I mean, Baptists down south, you've got, you know, Mormons up in the Northwest. I mean, it's like you've got all these non-Catholic religions that I don't think they're necessarily going to protest something that's obviously just supposed to be a silly thing. Whereas, mm-hmm. I don't think it's really as offensive to her. I don't know. But yes, the Vatican scene is definitely funny. I mean, I like the tour guide with Jamie, where he's like, this is unprecedented. It never happens this fast. And
it cracked me up. I thought the whole thing was very funny. I've always wanted to do you've seen movies before. Like where they jump down a big curtain and they slide down. Every time I see one that happen in a movie, I'm like, I want to do that. Yeah. I want to go find a big curtain at the Vatican City and jump down it.
Now,
I get it.
I have to know. Now, when we see like Scotty all mixed up in the robes and, you know, everything like that, does he look like Hayden Christensen?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought that every single moment of this movie.
Okay.
That I almost thought it was him. I had to Google afterwards to just like, no, that it was a different dude.
Yeah, I mean, the actor is named Scott, so yeah. You know, one of these actors that they're like, oh no, that's the best name for him. We need the goofy sidekick to have a name like Cooper, but yeah, whatever. Stay with Scott. Or maybe they had the song written already.
Yeah, they had Matt Damon perform and everything, and they were like, we can't walk this one back.
Oh, now, the one person we haven't brought up, I mean, we brought up Fred Armisen and, you know, like, the robot guy, but Vinnie Jones. I mean, anytime you have a movie that takes place in somewhere in
England.
In the UK, you need Vinnie Jones to be a soccer hooligan.
Of course.
Yeah, he played Oi. For he played for Wimbledon when he played soccer or football. And but he's never liked and still to this day does not like Manchester United. But I mean, I because of this movie always associate Vinnie Jones as that Manchester United guy. This is my Vinnie Jones movie. This is the one that every movie after this was the guy from Eurotrip. Because Gone in 60 Seconds, there's the guy from Eurotrip. Yeah, everything else. Snatch, Vinnie Jones, soccer hooligan. He's always the some cape. Sort of hooligan.
I think that Vinnie Jones was crafted in a lab to make the most Brummy-looking guy humanly possible. Yeah. Like, he's scientifically perfect British-looking dude. You see him and you're like, that's a fucking... That's a British... Good. That's an old lad right there.
Or the juggernaut. I mean, one of the two.
I know what I said.
Yeah. Gotta give a shout out to Vinnie Jones and the scene in the Manchester United fight song with "My baby takes the morning train." Yeah. Waking up on top of the double-decker bus. Like, okay, here's what I don't understand about getting stuck on top of the double-decker bus. They're in England, and they need to get to Germany, and he's pissed off because they're on their way to Paris. Isn't that kind of on the way to Germany? Haven't you just hitched yourself a ride, like, a quarter of the way?
Yeah, you've taken yourself south.
Yeah. Like,
you're taking yourself to the mainland of Europe now, so it should be easier to travel to Germany.
Yeah, but Scott's all pissed off about it. It's like, dude.
Yeah, but he's American. He doesn't know geography. He has no idea where he is.
Yeah, it's like Cooper says it's the size of a postage stamp. Yeah. Yeah, who does? Yeah, that's right. See, that's how I live off the grid, because I'm in Canada. No one knows where it is.
There is no grid. There is no grid here.
There is no spoon. Yeah. So the original ending had Mike saying no. He slides down the curtain, professes his love in front of millions of people, and Mike says no.
I think that is the right ending. If I had to pick a single flaw in this movie, I would say that it shouldn't have ended with them getting together. It should have ended with Scott realizing, like, you can't just be this. You became this spontaneous person. You can't just be this sad sack, like, going from love to love. Like, he has no reason to go to, like, I guess this is maybe the biggest. He has no reason to go to Europe. Just because he realized a girl was hot and he wants to bang her. That's why he goes to Europe. There's no, like, big connection here.
And you like the idea of him getting dumped more. And what do they give us? He gets to Europe and he bangs the girl in a confessional. I mean, you know, like...
Yeah, I was going to say, to go back to what I was going to say at the beginning. Okay. I thought the funniest ending to this movie would have been if Matt Damon's character showed back up to meet Mika as well, because they had, like, met and, like, he already beat her to, like, he already beat Scott to her.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I toured to Berlin, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Lustra's on their European leg.
I love that. I love that. Yes. Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, Scott. Yeah, you meet my boyfriend. Yeah, and he comes out.
And I also
with Kristen Crook too. Like
the harem.
Thruple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like the ending of her saying no, it feels like the actual ending, they had to, like, go do, like, a reshoot or something. Because that feels like tonally speaking. That's what I thought was going to happen. And I'm like, that's really funny. If she's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Scott. And she's like, okay, well, I'm...
Yeah.
Bye. I was like, that would be so funny. to just fully commit to the idea of like this guy is
well,
a weirdo.
They, it's in the deleted scenes. They do have a scene where she explains why and all that sort of stuff, and they're just like, eh, it's a bummer. So it wasn't just like no, and then they're back on a plane. Right, it wasn't, you know, that wasn't the ending of the movie. There was another scene, and it was just so the yes no part was filmed at the same time with two different answers because they didn't know which one they were going to use. So I think the crowd just had like a indifferent attitude about it.
These bloody Yanks don't get comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the thing I didn't like about it was it made the entire movie about their relationship when I kind of feel like, not that I cared when I originally watched it, but I care now kind of.
I feel like the right
right story was more about like Scott like becoming a real person. Like, yeah. Like learning something about himself. Like he learns nothing about himself.
Well, he learns to be impulsive. Like that's the thing is, you know, if you remember at the beginning of the movie, he had his whole summer planned out where he was going to work with his dad and everything like that. So he was going to be Mr. Predictable. So that's where he branched out is he learned to be impulsive and just take chances and go for it.
Yeah.
Whereas somehow, I mean, we didn't even bring up the fact that Cooper somehow manages to keep up the ruse that he's in the office the whole time he's in Europe. I do like that little B plot that goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, I guess too, I think, in not that it's a sequel to Road Trip, but I think, I thought the ending of Road Trip where like, They don't get together.
Oh,
is
yeah.
That made the movie? And maybe that's like the difference why one of these. But no, this movie has like amazing audience scores. So I can't even say it's not like people didn't like it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, see, I see what you mean. Like the fact that his girlfriend in the that Fiona was a bitch. Like that's the problem is that she was a cheating, lying bitch. And so you don't want her to go back, but there's no girl that was there the whole time because they end up throwing her with Cooper instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girl that you always thought was just one of the guys. Oh, but
I love so much whenever I'm watching it, specifically again, like a 2000s, early 2000s movie. And they fully have the, she's letting her hair down and like shaking her head like she's in a Head and Shoulders commercial. Like she's like, feel the rain on your skin. Like she's just fully, and everybody's, all the guys are going, whoa, that's her.
I need to dig a hole. That would have been a good line. Yeah, apparently on the first take, she shook her head so violently that she ended up falling over.
That would have been a great take.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so 3 months later, they're off at, Scotty's off to college, and he's on the phone when he gets a knock on the door, and it's his new roommate, and well, look at that. The college thought that she was a guy, and so they roomed her with Scotty. So they're going to be getting their confessional on, if you know what I mean.
Sean, I think I do, buddy. I think I pieced that one together.
Yeah? Yeah, that one was
That's why I take my omega-3s, my friend.
And then the end, except for all the bloopers in the credits. So yeah, moral of the story, homophobia is bad. That all of this could have been stopped if you had just been more accepting, Scotty.
That's just it, man.
Yeah. And that's Eurotrip. Oh boy, now now Colin, Joel, on IMDb it scored 6.5 out of 10. I thought you said it had great ones. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes is better. A Metascore of 45. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 47% on the tomato meter, but an audience rating of 75. It's not bad. I don't know. Are you seeing other sites that have higher, like Google or something like that?
No, I was going on the audience for Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, well, except, but Colin,
75 is pretty good.
Yeah, 75 is pretty good. Yeah, why not? We've watched worse, but Colin, those are just numbers. Like some crazy dildo machine at Club Vandersex. Hit us with some reviews. Dig deep and get us some reviews.
I don't usually use professional reviewers, but I'm going to use a top critic named Stephanie Zakarik from Salon.com because I thought I love really descriptive reviews. So she certified it as fresh. But she said, just when you begin to wonder if it's ever going to get funny or if it's going to be merely desperate all the way through, it lifts off like a wobbly helicopter and somehow it keeps flying.
Okay. So I guess that's good, right? Yeah.
She painted a picture there.
That's yeah. Good. That's very poetic.
Dove gives the movie 4 out of 5 stars and says, honestly, this movie is pretty bad. It's kind of sexist and homophobic, and the jokes are generally bad. But I gave this a 4-star rating because I really enjoyed myself while watching this. I didn't think I would. I thought I would hate it, but I didn't. It's hard to explain what I liked about this movie, but I think it's because the humor is so bad but good at the same time. There were plenty of stupid quotable lines like, this isn't where I park my car, and this still counts as Europe, right? At the end of the day, though, I just watched this because I really like the song Scotty Doesn't Know. If you like that song, you might like this movie as well.
Now, do you think Dove likes the boys or likes the girls? I'm not going to say, is Dove a boy or a girl? I'm going to say, do you think Dove likes the boys or the girls?
I don't know.
Oh.
Girls, I think.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that for either way, there is something there for Dove. So,
yeah. If you like the girls.
Well, no, I'm just saying when Dove says that I don't know what it is about this movie that I like, boobs. Simple answer.
Boobs.
Or penises if Dove likes the boys. That's why I'm wondering.
That's just it.
Yeah.
If you like girls, you have beautiful young women showing their boobs about once every 10 minutes in this film. Okay. If you like the fellas, you have one scene with like 100 wrinkly old man dicks.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, there's
something for everybody.
There's a like good boob to joke ratio in this movie. That's for sure. Yeah. And dick.
Pablo Podhorzer gives the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, I'm a hardened cinephile. I watch Goddard films. I search for silent movies.
Oh my.
I try to decipher meaning in Bergman dramas.
Oh,
and
geez.
Still, this thing is a classic. Scotty Doesn't Know, and critics at the time also didn't. Supremely funny, Eurotrip is the last hurrah for the teen college road trip, a time without censorship and smartphones where hard F's and R's are uttered, sexy bodies are everywhere, and nobody bats an eyelash. Scoozy, go watch Eurotrip again.
I like how Pablo provided a resume. You know, yeah. It's like, look.
He just wanted you to know he's no fucking slouch.
Normally, no. Like, you gotta believe me when I say that I don't normally go near this shit with a 10-foot pole. But guys, like,
come on,
give it a chance.
My man is an auteur of the cinema. He's like, I don't watch movies; I watch films.
I watch
exactly.
Ashley Whiteside says 5 out of 5 stars. I remember watching this when it came out in my early 20s. I vividly remember laughing so hard at one scene, my head went forward and I hit my teeth on the guardrail in front of our seats. This movie had my sides hurting almost nonstop, and it still holds up, by the way.
I'm okay. Help me out here. Guardrail in front of my seats. Where were you watching this? Like, they must have been in, like, that second row, like, where the wheelchairs can sit on the floor. And
yeah.
Trap, right? That's... Or, like, because they weren't watching it in IMAX.
Either that, yeah. Or they were You're watching this movie on a roller coaster. Like, there's no. That's my only guess.
An iPhone on a roller coaster. Hold on tight. Just take me around again.
Keep it running.
I'm only at Scotty doesn't go now.
All right, last one. Alex Graham gave the movie 5 out of 5 stars and says, I remember this coming out, and now I look at it, and it reminds me how fat and old I am. But that film with alcohol or other substances, absolute whale of a time. Best $3.99 on Amazon Prime you'll spend tonight.
Is that someone that was an extra on the beach scene?
I don't know.
Oh, man. I look back at that, and I just can't believe how old and fat I am. Ugh, my dick's so small. Camera's supposed to add 10 pounds, but it sure didn't. Right on. So, yeah, 6.6 and 75 from audiences. Who gives a fuck what the critics think? Whatever. Fuck them.
Ooh.
They're sub 50. Yeah. Joel, we'll throw it over to you. First time watcher, what did you think of Eurotrip? Did we put you through something good? Or was it torture, like some sort
honestly,
of bonder sex,
I think
dildo machine?
This movie. No, keep going. Keep listening. Keep listening. More things. I really had a fun time watching this movie.
Yeah.
It got some good laughs. It had a lot of knowing Ivan Reitman was involved makes a lot of sense. It had a lot of really fun, like, visual gags. Mm-hmm. And a lot of jokes that have definitely outlived the kind of film that it had. Like, having a song that's actually good that makes people want to watch your teen sex comedy.
Oh, yeah.
That's an achievement. And I have to give them some credit.
And a dance remix of it, too.
That's just it. They had the little Kraftwerk thing going on. And, like, you know, some of the, like, the scene on the train with Fred Armisen. Maybe it's because I love Fred Armisen. But, like, it's so good. That's a classic. I enjoyed this movie. It is not without its faults, but I think I agree. If you just wanted to have like a fun sit down, have a couple laughs, go, uh-oh, you can't say that anymore a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a better choice. I'd give this one like a good like 7.2.
Yeah. Now, since we brought in some Harry Potter references, let me give you a visual here just so I can get a reaction. Fred Armisen's character as Professor Lupin in The Prisoner of Azkaban, right, doing his thing instead of Professor Lupin's thing to the children.
I want to see that cut. I want to see that. I'd pay so much. I'd clear the savings account.
Scoozy. Uh-oh. Long tunnel coming up. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's a throwback. I mean, for you, it was probably even though you had never seen it, it was probably nostalgic anyway. Just because
yeah.
of the 2004-ness of it all.
You know what? It took me back to when I was a young 5 to 6 year old boy keg stands at high school parties, you know?
Shit. Okay, never mind the 2004. I forget sometimes because, you know, you conduct yourself so much more maturely, Joel.
Chivalry's not dead as long as I'm around.
Oh, boy. Colin, on this viewing, yeah, what did you think of Eurotrip?
I still loved it, but I think the only like kind of change in my perception of it was, yeah, I kind of thought the ending I thought the ending did the story wrong.
I like your ending. I do like your ending.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been great.
But yeah, still a great movie. Still definitely a time capsule of that early 2000s period. So.
Yeah, just like the
song. Would definitely watch again.
Yeah, just like the song in it, the movie itself slaps too. You know, it's still a good one. Yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that none of these, well, I don't know, I guess it's kind of the same with Road Trip or even American Pie. Like, Like, I thought Cooper was so funny that I, like, was he in anything else? I looked up Scott Makowicz or whatever, and he didn't really do anything. I think he was in, like, a Gavin DeGraw music video or something.
Wow.
That's the peak of fame right hit, there.
Hit the big time. Yeah.
But.
Well, let's see.
But, yeah, I thought Cooper... I agree with you, Sean. Like, I wanted more. I thought the funniest stuff was when his calls back to his boss.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish they would have laced that a little bit more throughout the movie.
Yeah. No, sir. I'll stay down here until I find the file.
And even had, like, a cutback to like, his boss at the end of the movie. Or, like, Cooper showing up to work to his boss and be like, oh, great work all summer, Cooper. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, he was in 78 episodes of Justified.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. That seems to be the most significant thing that he's done. Like, he's got an episode of Comedy Bang Bang, an episode of Elementary, a couple episodes of Limitless, and, of course, okay, an obligatory Law and Order. Gotta have a Law and Order if you're Law and Order and a Black. Yeah, Justified. There you go. He did Euro Trip and Justified. That's Jacob Pitts for you. No, he's hilarious. He is very funny in this movie. Yeah.
He was very funny.
Yeah. Well, right on. There we go. That is Euro Trip, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy. A huge thank you.
Did you give your opinion?
Oh well,
did I space through it?
I don't know. I just kind of meandered in throughout your own opinions.
Okay.
I mean,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good throwback. Looking back at it, because it's 2023, and that's one of the things we do on this show is I am now aware of the problems that are in this movie.
Yeah.
So I know they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I know they shouldn't be repeated.
Yeah, like this movie could never be made again, but God damn it, I'm happy it was made.
I'm glad it exists. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. I like a good robot fight. I like I like boobs.
And a good Hitler child.
A good Hitler child, yeah. Disappointed I didn't get an Anne Frank sex house. Yeah, oh, yeah. The Trinity. You got to have the robot boobs and a Hitler child.
I want to see people clamoring back for this. Like people are like, release like the Snyder cut of, you know, all the DC movies. I'm going to be like, release the Anne Frank cut of Eurotrip.
Well, no, it was never actually
filmed. You
should
start that filmed. Hashtag now and see if anybody's like, what the fuck?
Gang back together.
Yeah, they do like a some sort of Zoom reunion thing where they reenact what would have happened. Call up Jacob Pitts. He's living with his Justified money. He doesn't. He's retired now. I don't know.
Living pretty well.
No, this movie. I mean, I know I watched the unrated edition, so there is already the longer cut. No matter what, I'm not sure which version you ended up getting in your absolutely 100% legal means, Joel. But
that's right.
There is, you know, the unrated cut. I think it has more dicks, you know, and more nipples and. Yeah,
I don't think that I missed anything. That's what I'll say. Is I don't know which version that I saw. Okay. Again, I thought it was French at first, but in classic European fashion, I'm sure I saw the European cut where there was a lot of uncut penises.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'm circumcised.
I know what I said.
Yeah. So that's my opinion. I liked it. I still like it. Still a banger. Oi. Okay. There we go.
Oy.
That's Eurotrip, and that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. Big, huge thank you to Joel Sims, because I didn't actually introduce him at the top, but, I mean, everyone should know who you are by now. Mr. Joel
Sims. Does my reputation precede me?
Yes. Oh, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me again, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure.
Well, truly, always a pleasure on our end as well.
Oh, you're going to make me blush.
Yeah, that's what I do. If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out on the business end is, well, you know, just tell people, tell them to tell people. You know, word of mouth just spreads like wildfires. Oh, that one's topical. That one's topical for Alberta. I've been getting daily alerts. But yeah, it just spread word of mouth to help us get some earballs on the show. Or go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars, because giving us 5 stars and some reviews and things like that and thumbs up and whatever you can do on whatever app you use, it just helps the algorithms and helps move them around and move us up the charts. Or if you want to go even further above and beyond, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and become an executive producer of the show. And you get a shout out, just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, www.iselikethisone.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at iselikethisone@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. And if you want to hear more content from me and my and stories about my day job as a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening. And join me, only me, next time. Colin's taking the summer off, so join me and Aaron Knowles next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Or I Used to Hate This One. Oh! Yeah, I got that soundbite. Nice.